Okay, so let's take up the end of the parsha again. Or I think we touched on it a bit. So we noted at the beginning of the week that ISR is interesting in the sense that it's not really a story about Avram or a story about Yitzhak. It's a transition parsha which emphasizes the fact that Yitzhak doesn't have so much, time in the discussion in the Torah itself. But Avram's story really finishes in Vayera. Now you really get this feeling at the end of the parsha, right? Because after the whole saga in the middle, right, it takes up the majority of the parsha. There's the saga of Ephron, and then there's the saga of finding a wife for Yitzchak. Once that closes, you get Vayivyeh Yitzchak Ha'ola Sarayimo Vekachar Rivka Vedilo Liyishave Aveh Veinachem Yitzchak Acharayimo. Yitzchak brings in Rivka. Then suddenly, right, this man who we've heard about for several parshiot, who struggles with children, both number one and number two, right, has all types of drama, right? You get Perek Chafei is Vayosim Avram Vayikach Isha Ushmach Turah. He marries another wife named Turah, right, Avram. Vatel Lo Et Zimran Vet Yakshan Vet Midan Vet Midyan Vet Yishbak Vet Shuach. Right? In one pasuk, right? You think about the difference of how many pasukim are dedicated to the drama of having Ishmael, the problems of having Ishmael, having Yitzchak, the problems of having Yitzchak, almost killing Yitzchak, v'chulei, right? And now you find in two pasukim that Avram gets remarried and has Zimran, Yakshan, Midan, Midyan, Yishbak, Shuach, six more kids, right? And then you find that basically they're, right, these like empires, right, that they build, or whatever, not empires, but these clans that come from them. The Yakshan, Yalad, Et, Shiva, Ved, Dan, Vene, Dan, Ayu, Ashrimu, Tushim, Lomim, Uvene, Midyan, Efava, Efer, Chanoch, Vavida, Velda, Akal, Eil, Bnei, Ketura, right? Like, in four psukim, you find out that he had kids, and grandkids, and clans, and, right? Right, Vayitain Avram et kol asher lo liYitzchak. V'levnei avilakshim asher laAvram natan Avram matanot v'shalchem al Yitzchak v'no b'odenu chai kedem.
I've heard that the matanot were like koachatuma. I've heard that somewhere. I don't know.
Great, no. I mean, I know where you heard that.
Where's it from?
Rashi, but
also in Avram's old age.
Yeah. What?
This is in chronological order.
Yeah. He's old. He's like 100 and God knows what.
So,
right?
I guess probably they had said like, oh, Avram's with Sarah.
I mean, the simple shot is that what it, that's what it is, right? This is chronological, because it's Vayosef, right? Right. It sounds like it happened afterwards, right?
Wasn't this like an unusual thing when Avram had Yitzchak? Wasn't that supposed to be like?
Miraculous.
Good, right? So this is all very, very strange. So
this is a lot more. This isn't like one more.
Six. I know. It's a bit wild. So what's going on here? So a few points. So first of all, one of the things that's interesting with these parashiot, especially Chayisar, happens to be, is that it's much easier to understand these parashiot if you have a little bit of knowledge of the ancient Near East. Right? I mean, sure, the ancient world, specifically the Near East, but sure. One of the laws, by the way, this is also true of Ishmael, one of the laws was that if you had multiple children, and they were from concubines, so you had a choice to make them an heir or not make them an heir.
Yeah.
How did you, what was the legal process by which you deemed a child not an heir?
You sent them away.
You sent them away with gifts, correct. You sent them away with gifts in place of inheritance. Right, that was the process, which makes which story make sound a lot less offensive, not necessarily not offensive at all, but
Yishmael.
Less offensive. Yeah, Yishmael. Right, meaning when Sarah says Lo Yirash Ben Hamazeh Im Bini Im Yitzchak, that he will not inherit. That's why you have to send him away. That was indeed the law. Right, it wasn't that. Right, she wanted to send him away. L'shem sending him away. That she didn't want him to inherit, and had he stayed, he would have been defined legally as an heir. Right, the act of sending away the children in a lifetime with gifts is an act of declaring an heir, which is, in light of that, again, I'll read these psukim again, they make a lot more sense, which is, Vayitain Avraham et kol asher lo liYitzchak, ulivnei vilivnei apilakshim, asher l'Avraham natan Avraham matanot, vayishalchem me'al Yitzchak b'no, be'odenu chai ked mal eretz kedem. He gave everything he had to Yitzchak, and he sent the b'nei apilakshim away with gifts in the lifetime of Yitzchak, away from Yitzchak. Right, those are connected. Right? that's one point that's just sort of important to realize, that if you have a little bit of that background, that it actually makes a lot of sense what's going on here, right? He's having another marriage, a marriage in old age, and, you know, something that has become more and more popular, to be fair. You know this, right? One of the things that's become much more popular is people getting married in their old age. People are living a lot longer, right? So, like, you know, you lose a spouse, you know, you still might live for another 10, 15, 20 years, even if you're pretty old already, and therefore, right, meaning it's not crazy that you want someone, right, meaning even if he was whatever he is here, 100 and I don't know what, right, he lives a long time, right, as we find out, Yemei Shnei Chaye Avraham Asher Chaim Atshana V'Shivim Shana V'Chamesh. He lived for 175 years. So even if he was, you know, I don't know exactly how old he is, but even if he's 150, he has 25 years to go, right? You know, right? Like, it makes sense. But what's clear in the Psukim is that this is like not important, right? Like, this, yeah, like Avraham at the end of his life as a person, right, as an individual, like, wanted to still have a life, wanted to have companionship, right? Had a whole nother life. But in the story of Chumash, right, the personal lives of the Avot, like, don't matter so much, right? This is a story about, at this point, the formation of a family and a people, and anything that doesn't fit in that narrative is just like an appendix, right? It's a coda. Which is, as I said, is very, 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 you know, in your face in these... in these parashiot, and for that reason, the flow of these parashiot is that we like to find out about it, but this sort of the central thrust of it is that we find out about it and we deal with it and done, right? We explain why that's not part of the story. The Eilat, right, and then you get after that. By the way, the Rav Hirsch has a nice piece where he argues, right, Chazal claim that Keturah is Hagar, and that Yitzchak is the one who actually brought her back. Rav Hirsch takes this as Musar, right, that people should be okay with their parents, like, remarrying and realizing that they are allowed to have a life, even if it's hard, right, hard emotionally for the children, right? You have to deal with that, right? Your parents are still people, they're not only parents, and they can, right? He gives, like, this whole interesting drasha there. Which may indeed be pshat in Chazal, right? Pshat in the Midrash, that Yitzchak went to get Hagar, that it's hard for him, but he wanted... But anyways. But I think what's just important to realize is what I said. Is the fundamental point here is that the story of Chumash is not the story of Avram as a person. It's the story of Avram as the father of a nation. Therefore, the Torah tells you all this happened, and it, basically what it focuses on is the way in which it comes to be that despite the fact that Avram had more children, they're not part of the story. So we just run through it and we're done. And then you hear that he dies. So now he does have two main sons. Now what might you have thought?
Those kids, other kids were also...
Well, no, the other one's not. But what might you have thought? The other kids are not heirs, but Yishmael is still part of the story. What do you find out? What is the next psukim?
His son.
Right? Is we write out Yishmael's story, right? We finish up the Yishmael story, right? And then next week's parsha starts with El Toldot Yitzchak, right? And a point that we made before is that these Toldot, being the backbone of Bereishit and highlighting, the sort of framework for the narrative becomes very clear here, right? That we talk about Avram, but right, simply by basing the number of psukim that we give to different children, right? We give 200 psukim to the Yitzchak Yishmael narratives and 3 psukim to remarriage and 6 kids, right? And the fact that then we just sort of write that whole story and right away Yishmael, write Yishmael's story very quickly and then get back to Yitzchak, right? The very structure of Bereishit is trying to point us to the fact of what the central narrative is in Chumash, right? And I think that's just something to be sensitive to when you're reading Chumash, is the way in which the stories we tell, the stories we don't tell, when we tell those stories, and how long we tell those stories, for how much they point to what is central in the narrative, what the story is actually being told. Okay, so those are the parts that no one ever thinks about in the parashas.